Welcome, Photon Warriors. Commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
And welcome back to the Movies Hate You show.
Welcome to the Movies Hate You show.
That's right, we have a theme song I keep forgetting, and then I hear this beautiful voice, this beautiful long-haired man, Todd Sheets, that velvet voice.
And the plain short-haired man.
Oh, Mr. Ree, here in the studio. Hey, back in the Movies Hate You studio is Mr. Ree, our illustrious co-host.
Hail Xenu.
Welcome back. We took last week off because I was in Toronto. That's right, I was at the TIFF. Toronto International Film Festival. Should I give a report?
I'd love to hear it. I've never been to Toronto.
I was there on business. I won't disclose what type of business. I was there on business, and there were a lot of films there, man. There were a lot of films there. But anyway, this is Movies Hate You. MoviesHateYou@gmail.com. Todd Sheets, thanks for producing. And we've got tons of stuff to catch up on, because we've been bad.
Been lollygagging.
We've been lollygagging. Todd, can you hear us?
Lollygagger.
There we go.
I'm gagging my lolly right now. Hey, you know,
I'm adjusting my levels here.
We usually start the show by with a celebrity death report. But
yes.
I gotta say, I don't think anybody died this week, but I have sort of the flip side of that. This is a
celebrity was born this week.
Well, yes, actually, there was a celebrity born. We won't know for about 30, 40 years exactly what they're going to excel
in. Maybe less if they're a Disney star.
Could be a prodigy.
Yeah, could be like 12-year-old Hannah Montana type.
Could be.
Soon enough.
But
we make it.
Yeah. No, actually, what I was going to say is this is more of a I can't believe this person is still alive.
Larry Storch?
No, I do believe Larry Storch is alive. This is
Soupy Sales?
I'll give you a hint. Maybe you guys can guess this. I won't drag it out too much. But
okay.
90 years old, person still alive, a celebrity, hasn't been in the spotlight for quite a while, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the reason that I'm surprised that the person's alive. So one of the biggest comic minds, comedic minds of the century.
Okay.
Big television star, former television star.
Just spread it out!
Johnny Carson.
Oh, Carson's dead. Everybody's dead. Bob Hope's dead. It seems like everybody's dead.
Sid Caesar.
Sid Caesar is alive. 90
he is alive.
Years young. Yeah. Can you believe it?
Yep.
I saw that.
So is, what's his name?
Lyndon LaRouche.
Lyndon LaRouche still alive.
Same birthday as Sid Caesar. Yeah. They both turned 90. They were both born the same day.
Is Lyndon LaRouche, I used to, when I go to the post offices sometimes, the Lyndon LaRouche guys are out there. Seriously.
Are they still?
And they hang outside post offices and they try to get you, you know. They used to be a big anti-Clinton thing. Then they were, you know, anti-Bush, and now they're anti-Obama, I suppose.
I guess so, yeah. I see them set up on the street occasionally in Manhattan with their little table and their
pamphlets.
Crayon signs. And
yeah. politically charged year, you know. It's very, very interesting.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, the thing about Sid Caesar and 90 years old, it's a great run.
Yeah.
Wish him well. Hope for another 90. But here's the thing about Sid Caesar. The guy was a drunk. Okay, he was an alcoholic, well publicized. He wrote a couple books about it. And then he went sober. This is probably 40 years ago or something that the guy went sober. Coincidentally, that was the last time he was funny. Now, I'm totally serious. Now, this is a. I'm not saying you have to be drunk to be funny. I'm saying that Dick Van Dyke's another example.
If you're Foster Brooks.
Unless you're Foster Brooks. Dick Van Dyke's another example. The guy had a serious drinking problem, got sober, and he's living a long life, but he doesn't have the whatever pushed him in those early days,
right,
that he used alcohol to fuel it or to fight it or whatever it was,
yeah,
created this perfect storm of genius that once you take the booze out of it, seems to be gone. I mean,
The demons are there, and the booze brings them out in a creative way, perhaps.
Yeah.
You see that with a lot of creative people.
You do.
You know?
You do.
You see that with a lot of creative people. You know, drug addicts, cokeheads, meth, heroin, great artists, great musicians, and then you take that away, and it's like, you know.
And what, Keith Richards, is he still...
I don't think so. I think that's a joke, isn't it? No, I mean, I think he was, you know, I'm sure he's been... He's probably been clean for years. I mean, he might be a Burroughs type junkie, like a moderation junkie, where he takes a little bit of a taste every day, and he knows his limits.
I remember when Burroughs died; he was in his 80s, maybe late 70s, 80s.
Yeah, I think he was in his early 80s.
And I remember
Ian Holm is 80. He's like 80 or 81.
Wow,
he just had a birthday.
That's
getting
up there.
Yeah,
when Burroughs died, I remember watching TV news. I have no idea what channel it was, but probably local news. They did the death of Burroughs.
Yeah.
And the anchor actually said, in all seriousness, another drug-related death.
Ah.
The guy was 80 years old.
Right. Yeah.
Drug-related death.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was his prescription Viagra or something that killed him. You know?
Yeah.
You know, drug-related.
Yeah.
That was Bukowski too. I think there was some report he drank himself to death or something, but it wasn't true. You know, he just had a heart attack or something, I think. And I don't think it was anything related to is it related to booze? You know what I mean? Like if you were drunk for 10 years, like if you're a smoker, if you smoked till you're 30 and at 60 you got lung cancer, somebody goes, "Oh, it's because you smoked when you were 30." Okay.
Right.
How do you prove it? How do you, you know, what doctor's going to prove it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people that never touched a cigarette in their whole life get lung cancer.
Exactly.
So, was it smoking? They never were around secondhand smoke, nothing.
Right.
They get lung cancer. That's the way it goes.
That's the luck of the draw.
The luck of the draw.
Yes.
The luck of the Irish.
Speaking of heart attacks, Jerry Lawler, professional wrestler. Now he's mostly a commentator. On
Raw, Jerry the King.
We know
Jerry the King.
Speaking of Andy Kaufman, who died of lung cancer,
Andy Kaufman. Yes,
it all ties together. Jerry Lawler had a heart attack on TV.
Andy Kaufman was a smoker, by the way. That's a misconception. He was in younger life, in high school, early 20s. He was a smoker. There are pictures of it in his autobiography. Picture of him with a cigarette when he was in his teens. Yeah, okay. He was a smoker,
and he smoked as Tony Clifton.
He smoked as Tony Clifton, and also they said, "Oh, that's secondhand smoke in the comedy clubs." But then every comedian from that era would be dead of cancer. So, it's a combination. It's a million different things.
I'm highly skeptical of the secondhand smoke studies, anyway.
Yeah.
But anyway, Jerry Lawler actually had a heart attack on air. They were doing a match. He was commentating.
Sounds like a work.
It sounded like a work, but it's not. It's actually he's in critical. No, he's not in critical. He's in stable condition now. He was in critical condition.
Jeez.
He's still not speaking. Apparently, the good news is he wasn't unconscious long enough, or there's no brain damage. So they managed to get to him in time. But I thought it was a work too. I mean, they didn't address it on the show. It happened during a match.
During a taping.
No, it was a live show.
It was a live show. But you didn't see it on camera.
Didn't see it on camera.
Because they were focused on the fight.
Exactly. And I actually listened to it after.
And it was all cleaned up before they cut back to the commentator.
Right. There's two commentators. So the other commentator just kind of
took over
and they never mentioned it on air.
So. Did you hear any of this?
No.
Well, it happened last Monday, the 10th, I believe.
Lawler, you might know, Jerry Lawler's Andy Kaufman's famous nemesis during Kaufman's stint into professional wrestling.
And he famously slapped bitch slapped Andy on the Letterman show, and
which
and
everyone thought was real until the movie came out,
right? And I think Letterman thought it was, but later pretended that he didn't think
right.
it was real. I
mean, right?
Yeah. You know, after Kaufman died, everybody was in on the joke. They
yeah.
thought,
yeah, of course. Yeah, you can rewrite history then yeah. once he's gone.
Yeah,
because even his closest friends didn't know some of the secrets. Zemuda knew a lot, but there was even stuff that he played Zemuda on. So, you know, they had their own sub-games going on.
Right.
Which, you know, brilliant stuff.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. There's nobody even attempting that kind of thing today.
No, it really not. I mean, I thought, I really thought, or before he hit it big, because I've been following him for a few years, I thought Zach Galifianakis had a little bit of Kaufman in him.
Yeah.
But now he's just kind of doing, you know, Will Ferrell comedies and stuff. You know what I mean? I'm sure he's paying the rent, but he hasn't really done anything in public. I guess like the right publicist or the right handler got him soon enough, and they kind of stopped him from doing this career killing stuff that he was kind of known for. These weird
right.
antics on stage, and as far as I know, he hasn't done any stand up in a long time. Since The Hangover and all this, you know, the A-list stuff he's been in, now right. that he's marketable.
Although he did this series for Funny or Die, the Between Two
yeah,
Ferns.
Yeah, Between Two Ferns.
That
yeah.
still has a lot of that flavor, that it, very it, uncomfortable, cool. is he joking, is he not joking?
Exactly, but it was funnier when he was an unknown, because you didn't know, like, who is this guy? But now that you know, oh, it's the funny guy from The Hangover, it almost is counterproductive now.
Right.
Because now you're obviously it is a joke.
Right.
Like he's not uncomfortable around celebrities. He is one now. He's one of them.
Right.
Yeah. You know, he's in a movie with Robert Downey Jr. or whatever, so obviously it's not, you know. There was almost a like with Kaufman, there was always a question, is this guy like, you know, an autistic or something? Is he an Asperger's? Is there something really wrong with this guy? And somebody thought it'd be funny to film him, you know, like if you really weren't in on it, you'd be like, no, this is not working.
Right. Especially at the beginning of stand-up when he started with the Foreign Man, which later became the Latin yeah. character on Taxi.
Yeah.
Nobody had any idea that that wasn't his real voice, and he was very timid, and
yeah.
and you could feel the audience
uncomfortable.
How uncomfortable they were feeling sorry for this guy, and like, do we boo?
Yeah.
Is he so pathetic that we shouldn't even boo because
right.
he's going to have a breakdown?
Right.
And then, of course, he did this
yeah.
360 turn and turns into Elvis and
yeah.
and blows everybody away.
He was, you know, what, 15, 20 years ahead of his time then. I mean, those audiences were not ready for that. They were not sophisticated enough. Comedy was not sophisticated enough. The audience might have been, but the comedy wasn't sophisticated enough to take that. I think we might be too sophisticated where we see a guy like Galifianakis and we're like, yeah, you know, I get it. You know, it's like that's.
Is it just me though? I got to tell you, I'm not a huge Galifianakis fan. I mean, I'm really frustrated right now with comedy in general because it seems like every time there's a hit comedy, for the next 5 freaking years, we only have 4 comedians allowed to be in movies, and it seems like for a while it was Will Ferrell and that gang, and now it's this new group, you know, Seth Rogen. And Zach Galifianakis and the dude from The Daily Show, I mean, Ed Helms, same people all the time. And I'm going, God dang it, isn't there anyone else writing comedy? Isn't there anyone else doing comedy? And do we have to be force-fed these same guys every time? I mean, I was just at the movies, and once again, it's kind of a sequel to Knocked Up. I'm like, come on, new ideas, guys, new people, let's move forward. Comedy is evolving. Comedy is always evolutionary, and right now it's stale. It's like Saturday Night Live in the past 5 years has been junk, and I'm like, can we just start getting, you know, more people involved? Go back to the days when Not Ready for Primetime Players would push the envelope and we'd have people coming out saying, get me a shotgun, kill them all, the YDSC. We ain't got nothing going on.
I agree to some extent.
Yeah,
but
I don't know. I think
on the one hand, when you're in the middle of stuff, it's hard to see. It's easier to look back. Take Saturday Night Live for an example. I mean, I agree that it sucks now, but I think it's probably sucked. I think it's always sucked.
Yeah.
There always have been highlights. And if you look at the first season, there's a bunch of junk on there. There's some really, really good stuff.
That's the thing. We remember like the four good bits, but there were like a whole season of a lot of crap.
Right.
They were taking chances.
But that's the point. I mean, I have all those on DVD. I have all the seasons, and I've watched them all. And even if maybe some of the skits fell flat, they were doing artistic things that they wouldn't even be able to do now because the people involved don't have the talent.
You know, Sacha Baron Cohen is somebody, though, that
I think it's a little... Yeah, I mean, I get you, Todd, in a sense, but I'm a big Galifianakis fan, and I have been. I'm not really a fan of these new movies he's doing, but, you know, all the power to him, you know, if he's making money and he could go do what he wants and produce his own stuff, maybe that's offbeat.
I got a comment on the Sacha Baron Cohen thing. I think the guy's got a brain. Here's my problem. I think he caters to the lowest common denominator in the audience half the time, and I think the guy has some talent. I've seen him do good things, but I'm really sick of the shtick. I mean, I'm sick of the shtick. Let's move on. Let's do something good with your talent. Like, I thought, wow. I mean, when I saw him in Sweeney Todd, I thought, oh, God, I was groaning. Dude, he did such an amazing job, and I've seen him in other things as well.
Yeah, he's a great actor, and he's a trained actor, and, you know, that bit with the... You can't deny that, you know, Borat's hilarious the first time you see it. I mean, it's just, it's unlike anything you've seen.
I kind of hated everything about it, though. I gotta chime in. I'm the one guy out. I'm the one guy out always on this, because I always hated Borat with every inch of my fiber. I thought it was everything that's wrong, because I felt like that should have been a Comedy Central special, not a $12 ticket at the multiplex.
It's no different than, you know, Kaufman doing Foreign Man to, like, the... You know, most extreme level. I mean, it's really not.
That's,
you know,
true.
But you see Bruno. Bruno had some hilarious moments.
Oh,
had some dogs too. There were some bombs. In that, but there were some funny moments. You know, there's something about that uncomfortable. You know, the thing is, the blanket statement. It's kind of like guys who say, "Well, horror is dead." Blah blah blah. Well, then you don't watch enough horror movies, because there's always gems out there. There's always somebody. You can't deny it. Chris Rock is one of the best comedians, living comedians today. I've seen Chris Rock live do his stand-up, and he makes crappy movies, but, you know, this is a guy who's a master. You know, he's, you know, prior reincarnated. You know, and he's out there doing work. Take somebody like Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle, brilliant guy. So to say that comedy's dead, blah, 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 maybe the good comedians aren't finding good scripts, or they don't have good material or good writers.
Right.
I don't think Seth Rogen's funny. I don't get Seth Rogen. Like, I never did. Like, I just don't relate to the guy. I guess you have to be a certain age and a certain, like, you know, body mass index or something to get that guy to relate to him. Or that, what's that other, the one who used to be fat and he's thin now?
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill. I don't get it. Like, he was funny when he was, like, a fat teenage kid as, like, a supporting role in some movie, like the butt of a joke, but I don't think he's a lead, and I got him, like, a lead in movies now.
Yeah,
I don't get it. I just don't get it. He doesn't do it for me. But I'm sure, Crosby and Hope didn't do it for certain people when their movies came out, you know, and there was an audience for them. So I know there are people that like this guy, but I don't see the comedy in Seth Rogen. I don't see the comedy in anything. What's this guy, 40-year-old virgin, the director that makes such a big deal?
Right, Judd Apatow.
Apatow. I don't see the big. I don't see the Apatow thing. I don't get it. You know. And I've had fights with people over stuff like, I don't get Apatow, but I love something like Arrested Development. I think it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. It has moments. There are people who just can't stand it. It's garbage. If you like it, you should be shot.
David Cross is somebody I would say is one of the best comedians.
Very
today. Really funny.
Really funny. If the material's right, because he's got this thing on IFC, Todd Margaret, not funny at all. He goes to the UK to sell some energy drink. Uh-huh. They try to get together some of the Arrested Development guys, kind of get some of that magic going. To me, it doesn't work. It's not funny.
Yeah. It's stand-up, though. His material is...
His material is good when he does his own material, or in Arrested Development, he was very funny.
Right.
You know? And even that goes a little bit too far sometimes. You know, it's almost like we're in this... to speak to what you were saying, Todd, we're in a kind of a ironic, how uncomfortable can we make it and take it kind of error. And that's why things like Borat, Zach Galifianakis, these guys are all based on uncomfortable situations. And the comedy of pushing something is kind of like the Jackass of comedy. You know, it's like, how far can we push the audience, whether we're doing a live bit or we're doing a stand-up, how long can I make them endure? And I think that's all. I think Kaufman's responsible for a lot of that. I think if you sat down with any of those guys, Kaufman's on top of the list of influences.
Right, and even going back before that, well, yeah, even going, The Office is another example of that uncomfortable, where yeah. the punchline basically of every joke is an uncomfortable silence.
Yeah.
And, I mean, does that go back to Bob Newhart? Does that go back to...
Right, you know, Bob Newhart.
Before Kaufman. Kaufman is certainly yeah. influenced by other people. And,
yeah. And, Newhart, and yeah, I mean... Yeah, yeah, you know what? You're right. And also, that's another, Ricky Gervais, funny guy,
mm-hmm.
hilarious. He's got that show, Idiot Abroad. You ever watch that show?
Never.
Insanely funny. Now, and that's like situational comedy where he sends his friend.
Oh, yes, with Carl Pinkington. Yes, oh, I love
Pinkington
that.
Pinkington around the world sure. on these trips, him and his buddy. But then I've seen a couple movies with Ricky and him. Garbage, you know?
Yeah.
Can't hold a movie.
Right.
So is it the material or is it him? Funny guy, right material? Not sure.
Right.
His tweets are funny. You know, he's funny when he's a presenter at the, you know, Oscars or Golden Globes or whatever, but you know, but it doesn't always carry over into everything. I think we might demand too much of our comedians.
They're overexposed.
Overexposed. It's like, you know,
that's
because
there's only four of them in every movie.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. That's why we're seeing...
Right, but... Then you get somebody like Ben Stiller, who's completely unfunny. He's like he's the anti-funny, but yet everybody's like, oh, he's funny movies. I love his funny movies. I don't get it. I don't get Ben Stiller. I get Ben Stiller every once in a while in something, you know, but I don't get him every time. I just don't understand it. It's not connected to my brainwave, whatever that is.
That makes sense. Absolutely. And see that at the same time, I totally feel that way about the Adam Sandler movies as of late, because I thought, all right, we've seen that Adam Sandler has some talent. We've seen that he's able to do some real acting. I mean, we've seen some really good movies.
See that? Where? What? This is what? You don't like Sacha Baron Cohen, but you think Adam Sandler is a...
Seen Adam Sandler do some decent stuff, you know, some decent acting. That's what I'm saying, but I hate...
What though? In what?
Well, I'm trying to remember the name of the movies. Like, he played that weird guy.
They play movies on bars that he's in that I don't see or something?
Are you talking about Punch Drunk Love?
Punch Drunk Love, I liked. I liked that one. I liked Spanglish. Thought it was okay.
I walking around with an oversized suit on for 2 hours. Do you find that was a good role?
Well, no, I just thought he showed some range in those films more than what you see in the comedy stuff, because it's always so derivative. I mean, here he is. Walking around, same cast of characters. There's Dave Spade's going to be in there. And God dang it, Rob Schneider, who couldn't get a job without him, he's going to be in there. And it's going to be the talentless hour, and you're going to be sitting there just banging your head on something, trying to get out of there at every cost. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I never got Sandler. He never appealed to me at all.
Yeah, I just never got him.
You know who I never got, and I seem to be in the minority on this, is Sam Kinison.
I love Kinison.
Not that I never got him. I don't like him. I've listened to hours and hours. I'm a big Howard Stern fan, and I'll listen to old shows.
Yeah.
And I'll try. I just keep trying because everybody's going on about how brilliant he was and how he would come into the studio completely loaded. He couldn't even stand up. And as soon as he went on, he was just brilliant. And then I'll listen to it, and I'll say, that's not brilliant. What am I missing here?
Yeah.
It's
I there was that one, I think Rodney Dangerfield brought him out on one of those specials or something.
Right.
And there's that one where he's in the suits before the beret and the hippie crap.
Right.
He had like a suit and tie on or whatever, and he came out and did the, you know, you live in the desert, that's where it's where the, why don't you move to where the food is?
World hunger.
And I remember that being hilarious when I was 14 or whatever. When that came on HBO, I remember being, I think it was funny. That delivery is funny, but it gets old.
I liked him. I thought he was a cool guy. I thought he had a lot to offer the world. But see, I live in the Midwest, so I kind of saw this guy that was a Bible Belt preacher that became a rebel and took it by the balls and changed his life. And even though I don't agree with some of his lifestyle, the funny thing is he'd cleaned up his act and was living a good lifestyle, and then he gets hurt and killed.
He was killed by a drunk driver.
I know. How bizarre is that, you know? And once again, you know, Robin Harris I thought was a great comedian and taken away from us, and I liked Sam Kinison.
Funny guy. Robin Harris was great, man.
He used to make me laugh, man.
That was a real, yeah, that was a real talent that got pulled too soon. And so, and what about Bernie Mac? This guy's hilarious too.
Yeah,
taken too young.
Very true.
Greg Giraldo, if we're talking about ODs.
Yeah,
he was really funny.
Yeah,
really smart too. He was a lawyer, and
but to go back to the whole root of this conversation is that, you know, we have this selective memory of what, you know. Yeah, I saw Animal House 50 times on tape when I was 15. You know, I watched that thing over and over again. So John Belushi was like, you know, godlike back then. And of course, there was Saturday Night Live, the Blues Brothers. But then, you know, there were some bombs in there, man. You know, there's, you know, we don't talk about 1941, Continental Divide, or, you know, it's kind of the lesser stuff on SNL that you don't remember. If you go through those old discs and watch those old episodes, it's crap in there.
Yeah.
It's crap. Dan Aykroyd. Funny sometimes, man. Dead funny. Most 80% of his career, not funny. Same with Murray, Bill Murray, Chevy Chase. These are guys who, you know, even, you know, some of my, I was more of a, at some point, I liked Saturday Night Live in the beginning, but then I discovered SCTV.
Oh,
they used
yeah.
to play after Saturday Night Live, and I used to wait for that to come on because I always thought that was better. They always had like more, they were more like what Mad TV would be like 20 years later, where they were doing like movie spoofs and they were doing all this kind of stuff that Saturday Night Live wasn't really doing. Saturday Night Live was clearly doing stuff on a stage, and then every once in a while they'd cut to like a short film or something, but they were clearly in a live audience, and that was it. But SCTV said, screw that. Everything was film segments, and you know, they had props, and they were on locations, and just had more of a scope.
Right.
And they had bombs, too. There was stuff. I got every season, man. Look at those box sets right there.
I don't know if our audience can see those.
Well, I'm showing
sitting,
you.
But
I'm showing you. Confirmed.
I attest. That I confirm that
there's no SNL. There's Kids in the Hall, The Young Ones, The Office, British. The Office US sucks. And SCTV right there.
Yeah.
And Jackass.
I've got bootlegs of all the Saturday Night Lives that haven't been released.
Right, there was a bunch that haven't been.
And won't be, probably. The season after all the original cast left and Lorne Michaels left. Gilbert Gottfried. There's another guy who I think is one of the funniest people. I never got him. Never got him for a million years. And finally, I think the first time I got him was listening to the Pendulette radio show about 5-6 years ago. And he was a guest. And I peed my pants over these stupid stories, but they were just so funny and completely unscripted, talking about old TV movies and stupid things. But the season that Martin Short, speaking of SCTV, Martin Short was a cast member of Saturday Night Live in 84, and that season, I think, is one of the best seasons ever. You get Christopher Guest, Billy Crystal, Martin Short, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, etc. They were criticized because they did a lot of taped film segments, Harry Shearer, film segments, which are some of the funniest things ever on television, ever. And they got all this heat from the critics.
Yep.
It's not Saturday Night Live,
because
they're not doing it in front of an audience. It's self. And after one season, they all gave up and left. But to me, that's some of the funniest stuff that's ever been on TV.
There are moments, and especially like the Piscopo and Murphy years and stuff. I mean, you know, there's some just stuff people still reference today in that. You know, it's the same way that they don't reference stuff, you know, from the early Saturday Night Live the way they do. Even back then, I remember even being a kid, we referenced that Eddie Murphy stuff. That stuff blew away the John Belushi stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there was nothing, you know, Gumby and everything, Alfalfa, all that stuff.
But there's a lot of
and there's a lot of crap in there.
If you watch that season, the stuff that Murphy's not in,
right?
He was
a superstar when he walked out of the door there onto the stage. Yeah, immediately out of the gate, he was a superstar.
Yeah,
there was no turning back for him. He just had it. He had the gift.
Yeah. Well, he turned back eventually.
Yeah.
He turned back.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, whatever happened to him, I have no idea.
Right,
but you know, my theory was on an earlier show of Movies Hate You was that, you know, it's all a big joke, that he's actually, it's like a big Kaufman joke. It's like, how far can I push America to hate me until I then come back and redeem myself?
He flirted with the Oscar,
yeah,
but knew that he had to do Norbit in order to lose the Oscar.
That's right. That's right.
Hmm.
Don't forget Tower Heist has come back. It's Ben Stiller, man. That was the mistake right there. Why put Ben Stiller? Have Eddie Murphy open the movie.
Yeah, you know, I don't understand with some of these guys that headline movies and they have three or four bombs in a row. At what point do they stop headlining movies like Stiller?
Well, that's the thing, like Sandler, Stiller. I think in our eyes they bomb, but then if you look at the numbers, they don't bomb. You know,
right,
Stiller makes money overseas.
Right.
These guys make, you know, those Murphy movies make money. Those Adam Sandler movies, they made that movie where he plays like his own twin sister or something, Sandler.
Jack and Jill?
Yeah, made money. Thing made money. And that's the thing we don't see. We just see it and we're like,
you can think the Midwest.
Yeah. People go to see it, line up for it. And it's lost on us, but we're just so jaded from it, or we just don't like this person, whatever it is. But believe me, nobody's going to make an Adam. If Adam Sandler's last five movies didn't make somebody money, nobody's going to put up money for another one. I guarantee you. That's the way the world works. Nobody's going to have the goodness of their heart say, hey, you're a nice kid. I'm going to put here's $30 million to make a movie. Nobody's going to say that. There's not one person in Hollywood that's going to do that. So if you see somebody more than once, it's because their last picture made money, even though you didn't spend money on it. Hence, you get people like, you know, Jennifer Aniston, you know, Sarah Jessica Parker, these people who have seemingly no talent as far as we're concerned. They just continue to pop up and stuff.
And I think it's no different than it's ever been. I mean, you look at the 60s maybe, when we had counterculture. You know, the people we remember now, 60s and 70s, Carlin and Pryor and all these people, they weren't the box office people.
Right.
If you look at the big comedies of the 70s, they were Burt Reynolds.
Elliot Gould.
Those aren't the comedic geniuses.
George
that we
Segal.
Think of.
You know, yeah. It was like all these, yeah. It was people that were square to the people who were into Carlin, you know, sitting in dorm rooms listening to Carlin records. They weren't going to see the George Segal, you know, romantic comedy.
Right.
They weren't going to have a square, but that thing made money. And George Segal continued to make movies, and he's still working today.
And so in 30 years, people won't be talking about Adam Sandler. They'll be talking about whoever is in the margins right now.
Exactly. And Sandler might even, you know, there might be a reversal like you see with somebody like a Jerry Lewis, where Jerry Lewis was like, oh, that's square. That stuff's square. But now he's kind of considered some kind of comic genius because of what he did and his innovations behind the camera as well. You might see something like that with Sandler. Something might come out on Sandler that, you know, he might be embraced for something that we don't comprehend right now, but it might make sense 20, 30 years from now. That comedy, that whatever brand of comedy that is, might be the same way Kaufman was kind of like question mark.
Oh, exactly.
He was, you know, it was a joke.
Right.
It was a joke.
Right.
There was no reverence for Kaufman. Couldn't get a job. He got fired from Taxi. You know what I mean? Like, this wasn't a guy who,
right,
you know, was you know, in high demand.
And he wasn't even necessarily liked by his peers. I mean, he didn't pal around with the other comics.
No.
Or comedians.
But he didn't come up the same way they did.
After he died, there was a special on TV, like an NBC special praising, remembering Andy Kaufman. And they brought out every comedian from Seinfeld to whatever, who of course adored him at the time and knew him, and they got it. And come on.
Give me a break.
You guys hated him when he was alive. He hated you. You didn't get him.
Yeah.
Now it's safe.
Yeah, of course. It's safe now because he's sanctioned. You know, he's sanctioned now.
Right.
Same
he's
with Carlin.
You anymore,
It's like, oh, okay, Carlin's okay now. You know, everybody loves Carlin. Carlin's a household name.
Right.
But it took him 40 years to get that household name. He probably didn't make any real money until the last, like, 20 years of his career.
Yeah.
You know, like those, you know, record after record, you know, like all that. And same with Richard Pryor. All these guys. Red Fox.
Right.
You know, these guys didn't catch on until they were in their 50s and 60s, some of them.
Right. Pryor wouldn't, he was supposed to be in Blazing Saddles. Mel Brooks wanted him, and they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't let him. He was not bankable. He wasn't, he was a loose cannon.
Yeah.
They wouldn't insure him.
Yeah.
You know, so whatever.
Yeah. That would have been interesting. And the Cleo Little role, as
such. Yeah, so, right, because he co-wrote it.
Yeah.
Pryor co-wrote it.
Although, I have to say, Cleavon Little does...
Oh, he's fine. He's great.
Terribly good job.
Sure. No, he's great. He's great. It's just hard to...
How did we get onto comedy this whole show? We're almost over. Jeez, man. I thought we were going to talk about this great new film that came out.
Which one?
That's film that everybody's talking about. People are dying over this film. It's so good.
The Master?
The Master. All right, but dub it and say Muhammad.
You mean the prequel to Ali?
Prequel to Ali.
Yeah.
Yes, Muhammad.
The early days.
Muhammad Ali, and then the sequel to that's Baba. Yeah. Muhammad Ali Baba.
Of course, we will be killed.
Not the Master, not the new P.T. Anderson movie.
No.
That played at TIFF.
And that's coming out.
It is coming out.
Soon.
It is.
A lot of hype, a lot of Oscar buzz
on Cloud Atlas, too, up at TIFF, which premiered, world premiere was there. And the whole cast was there.
Which is Cloud Atlas?
The Wachowski family movie.
Yes.
The Wachowski brother and sister
siblings
movie.
The Wachowskis.
Now we just say the Wachowskis.
Yes.
Now let's hope the Hughes brothers don't have a transsexual happen, because then we'd just have to call them the Hugheses.
Or the Hughleys.
The Hughleys. or the PJs.
Yeah.
Cloud Atlas, a lot of buzz. Didn't see it. Looper was the opening film, the first American film to ever open TIFF, the Toronto International Film Festival. Bruce Willis and Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Not a remake of Hooper.
Unfortunately, not a remake of Hooper with Burt Reynolds.
That would be interesting.
That would be great.
You know, in a way, Bruce Willis is a Burt Reynolds of our generation. I mean, he has a lot of that same shtick.
Yeah.
That whatever you call it.
Yeah. And he has, but fortunately for him, he has more of a, you know, Reynolds is, again, Reynolds, like Richard Pryor, like Carlin, not appreciated until now for what he was. You know, it's kind of like Clint Eastwood as well. You know, it's like Clint Eastwood was kind of not taken seriously, and it just became like his own joke. But now he's taken seriously because he's like a director now, and all those films are now iconic. Same with Burt Reynolds. Smoking the Bandit, you know, wasn't revered as some kind of masterpiece of comedy or regional cinema, whatever you want to call it. But now we look at it as, he's an icon, American icon, Burt Reynolds.
Yeah. Stick around long enough.
You hang around long enough. Yeah,
absolutely.
Jerry Lewis.
Sid Caesar.
Let me tell you, the Burt Reynolds, you have to get into that Burt Reynolds kind of post-Smokey world. And you have to see the Sharky's Machine.
Oh, I love Sharky's Machine. Yep.
Sharky's Machine. Directed by Burt Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
Stick, Heat, Malone. And then he did like City Heat.
Well, it's got two words in the title. That's the mistake.
Yeah.
Anything with one word.
Yeah. Yeah. Dar Robinson going off that balcony, man, in Stick. That's classic.
Oh, yeah.
Stunt. Dar Robinson going out the window in Sharky's Machine.
Is Dar Robinson still alive?
Doubling for Henry Silva. No, Dar Robinson actually died doing a stunt.
In a stunt.
Yeah, he died in a stunt, unfortunately. Hmm. Yeah, it was a Million Dollar Mystery. Was that the movie? I forget what the movie was.
It could be.
Yeah, I believe it was. Yeah, he was the first. I think he still holds the record. He jumped off the CN Tower in Toronto with a parachute.
Wow.
Yeah. Dar Robinson. There used to be a big box VHS, the most amazing stuntman in the world or something, and it was like a cartoon drawing. It was a documentary on Dar Robinson.
Wow.
Yeah, I wonder if that's
still around. That up.
Yeah, have to look for that.
Stunts.
Probably on Cinemageddon. Stunts, that's a whole episode right there.
Stunts is something that we don't have anymore. I mean, almost. There still are stunts, but they do it.
Yeah, they do it. It still does. It still happens.
The idea that what you're watching actually happened. I mean, that's something that we're probably the last generation that was true of. I mean, unless you're talking about dinosaur movies or whatever, but if it's a car chase, they were using cars. If a guy falls out of the window, it was a guy falling out of a window. Now,
it could have been a dummy.
If the arms were flailing, that's how we knew. You'd always kind of tell what.
Well, they would sell it. Yeah, they would sell it. But some car chases were done on blue screens. You cut to the person's in the car, and you see the freaking, the kind of stuff they spoof an Airplane, where it's just like the stupid blue screen. They're spoofing the movies of the time that we're doing that. So there's some fakery. There's always fakery.
There's always fakery, but I guess what I'm saying is now it seems like the easiest stuff to do practical is done digitally.
Yes.
Stuff that you would never even guess had to be done
in
a non-practical way. They just do it that way.
Yeah, you wouldn't even
know. It's cheaper,
know.
It's easier,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, you wouldn't even know. Yeah.
So I don't get that feeling when I'm watching movies. I don't know if my kids do, because it's hard to have this conversation with them because they don't know the other side of it. But do they think it's really happening? That suspension of disbelief, even like Indiana Jones,
right?
That's all practical stuff. We know it wasn't really Harrison Ford, even at the time when you're watching it. You know it's not really him, but somebody's doing it. Somebody's being dragged under that truck.
Yeah, I think as a kid, I didn't know. I mean, I must have been what was that? 81, 82? 82. Yeah. I was 12. I did not know that. And Harrison Ford wasn't doing that stuff. I did not know that. I wasn't thinking like that.
Right.
I did not know it. And it looked like him under that truck.
Sure.
And it was actually. He did that stunt.
Sure. I'm saying even if it wasn't, you knew that somebody did it.
Right. I think there were times where it was like, you cut to the, and it's been spoofed. Something like, I remember in Beverly Hills Cop, early on in the film, he throws one of the heavies over when he wrecks the buffet at the hotel, and he throws the guy over the buffet table. They cut to this shot where he's flipping him, and it's a dude with it looks like Fred Williamson. It's like not Eddie Murphy.
Right.
It's not Eddie Murphy. Clearly, the dude's got like twice as big arms, shirt's too tight on him. And he flips the guy over the table. So some stuntman does this, Murphy's sitting having a coffee.
Right.
So that was one of the times where it became funny. It became almost part of the comedy of it for me. I'm sure most people miss that.
No, couple 3 years ago, I was walking around in Manhattan and stumbled upon a film shoot. It was for this film, I think it was called The Other Guys, Will Ferrell.
Oh, that's God.
Comedy, cop comedy, whatever.
Good Lord.
They were setting up a stunt.
Yeah.
And the stunt was this, I think, 23-story building or so. Maybe not. It was around 23rd Street, so maybe I'm confusing. But it was a tall building. And the deal was two guys were I guess, being thrown off of the roof or something, and they're flailing all the way down. They're in harnesses. They're on in ropes. And quite a crowd was gathered to watch, and so I said, "Hey, I got nothing to do for the next hour. I'll sit here and watch this." And I watched, and it was pretty clear. I didn't know what the movie was until I went home and checked, but it was pretty clear that it was supposed to be The Rock and Sam Jackson. They were stuntmen, but stood there and watched, and the anticipation was building, and finally they hoist the guys up slowly to the top of the building, and they're up there in their harnesses, and they're waiting, and everything. Everybody quiet, please. And finally they drop. Boom. They drop from the top to the bottom, and they come about 6 feet from hitting the ground, and they bounce on their And the crowd goes crazy. Cut. That's a wrap. Yeah. It's over.
That's it. Because the cameras picked that up in slow motion or whatever they did, they got the shot they needed.
They got the shot, and they have wires, and I guess they just CGI them out now. Mm-hmm. It used to be they'd have to account for that. If they're going to do that stunt, they have to figure out a way so the wires can't be seen.
Right.
But now it's just
The angle, whatever. Yeah, lighting. Yeah.
You can just take an eraser and get rid of them.
Remember, they used to have to go in frame by frame and take stuff out and burn stuff in. And you wanted to make lightning, you scratch. That's the first thing they teach you in film school. Is you burn the lightning into the frame.
Right.
You want to create lightning.
Exactly.
That's the oldest trick. I mean, look, that's progress. I think I look at the films that have been made in the last 15 years and stuff like Lord of the Rings, and I mean, this is just otherworldly. Imagine being a kid and seeing Lord of the Rings. If I was 10 and I saw Lord of the Rings, man, it's like when we saw Indiana Jones. The scope of it, just the largeness, larger than life, otherworldliness of it that they can create now is really awesome. You know, I don't think of it as a negative. I always try to go to the positive end of it, not like, oh, they don't even use real bullets anymore and real blanks in the guns anymore. They just, you know, you see the fake pop, you know, the fake fire coming out of the gun. You know, even on low budget films, it's terrible. Right. It looks like somebody drew it with a pencil. You know, it's like really bad.
Right. I don't think the progress is a bad thing at all. The only thing I wonder, and I'm not saying I think I know, but I wonder if people of my children's generation just take it for granted.
Yeah.
Because everything is there. There's no.
Yeah. Because like we took limits. Color for granted in movies where our, you know, parents or grandparents or whatever wouldn't have. Color was still probably amazing to them.
Right.
You know. Like my dad, who's, you know, in his 70s, he probably still pretty impressed with color on television. Right. You know, because that happened, you know, that happened when he was 30, or that happened when he was 35 years old.
Right.
So, like, CGI happened when we were 35 years old, and we're pretty impressed by it, but a kid, you know, I'm not impressed by color television. Right. I'd be pissed off if I didn't have one, or if it wasn't available, I'd be like, what? Yeah, so that's we went from comedy to CGI. We didn't talk about anything.
We were going to talk about the movie,
the Muhammad movie.
Oh, Muhammad, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, Oh, Muhammad.
I'm
going to make a movie called Oh, Muhammad.
Book
two. It's going to be about a Muslim in Nebraska. Oh, Muhammad.
Oh, Muhammad.
No, Muhammad. Mud. Yeah.
Yeah. Where the heads go rolling down the.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah, so what's this Muhammad movie? I saw $5 million? There's no way they spent $5 million on that movie. If they spent $5 million on this Muhammad movie, then $4,999,099 went into somebody's pocket. Seriously.
Security, maybe?
I mean, that it's like, you've seen this thing.
Well, I haven't.
It's not the whole movie. It's just like a trailer, like a 12-minute trailer. Give him some background. Todd, what are we doing on time, Todd?
You got about 2 minutes.
I got 2 minutes, but we've only got 44 minutes recorded, so...
I got 45 minutes and some seconds recorded, and I'm going to put a little break in there, and it'll be perfect.
A little break?
Yeah, a little break in the middle.
A break about what? What's going to be in it?
Intermission.
It's going to be a commercial.
Like a lobby? Well, a commercial for who?
I don't know yet.
Somebody's paying you to put a commercial on my show?
No. I wish they were paying me.
Can you put one of those, let's all go to the lobby.
I can do that.
Lobby.
How about Thank Allah It's Fridays? They'd be a good sponsor.
Why don't you tell Pete to hold his show because you were 15 minutes late getting us started. Why don't you call him and grovel to him. Let him know what you've done wrong. And wrong the Movies Hate You show. You've hurt us.
I would never do it on purpose.
All right, so next week we're going to have a guest.
Yeah, but this makes up for all the times when you were 2 hours over.
Sunday, those are for the archives. That's to give added value to your listeners. Next Sunday, we're going to have a special guest. A book author is going to be on this show.
Oh,
so we're not going to be able to talk about Muhammad next time.
No, unless it is Muhammad.
Unless it's not Muhammad.
Oh.
No.
He could be on the radio because that's okay. It's not you can't show him, right? You couldn't have him in a movie.
You couldn't have him in a movie.
You can have him on the radio show.
Though, that's why they're killing people over this movie. Right. I don't even know the name of it. What's it called?
I don't know.
The Muhammad movie. Now, I don't want to get Jackalope in trouble by talking about this movie, but we're against this movie because it's so bad, right? We're not for this movie because then we're going to get jihad.
That's a good question.
Right?
In 30 seconds? I don't know.
I don't know.
Movies... Well, somehow it ties into Movies Hate You, doesn't it?
It does. Movies hate you.
This kind of movie
Yeah, movies kill you. Movies will kill you. Do not play this movie. Whoever distributes this movie might get killed.
Remember when Life of Brian was like the most blasphemous possible movie?
Yeah. Nobody got killed over that movie.
Well, maybe they did.
You think so?
I don't know. Maybe.
Where?
I want to think so.
Now you want to, but it's not true.
So maybe somebody will.
So my intention for this show was to talk about this Muhammad movie and the state of the power of a movie. Still to this day,
it's not even a movie.
You killed. It's not. It's a trailer to a movie that may or may not be an actual movie by a director they can't find. No one. They got 1,000 reporters looking for this guy. Nobody could find him. They don't even know where this guy. Talked to some of the actors and everything. They were tricked into doing this movie. They thought it was about something else.
Well, that's their story now.
Overdubbed. No, it's clearly dubbed. Did you see the movie?
Right.
Yeah,
right,
it's clearly dubbed. They are not saying Muhammad.
Right.
Like, they were clearly tricked. I believe that story.
Now, what's happened to the
they don't want to get their heads chopped off.
Right. The Anthony Quinn movie from the 70s, Muhammad, Messenger of God, did that just disappear completely from... I mean...
I have no idea.
It played in theaters. Yeah. I remember I was in Nebraska
when
it came out.
That was a pro-Muhammad movie.
But it doesn't matter. You're not allowed to... Islam is very clear that you're not allowed to show any...
Right. Well, that was before the internet. They may not even known there was a movie coming around. But
there were big protests at the time. It's never been released on video, I don't think, has it?
If you want to get your hands chopped off.
Yeah, I don't know. Or is it?
Maybe it is. Why don't you download a bootleg and see what happens?
Go to CinemaGeddon and look for it.
Yeah, go to CinemaGeddon. See what happens when you download it. This is something you're going to get a little...
Right.
Hello? Mr. Ryu inside. I have to talk to you.
That would never happen. I almost said where I live.
Don't say where you live.
Don't do it.
My neighborhood.
There would never be a Muslim where I live.
No.
So I originally wanted to do when we can save this for two shows from now. The Expendables being out, I wanted to do Expendable Dream Team lineups, man.
That'd be cool.
All right, so you've been listening. We'll do an Expendables Dream Team lineup. Date on another date. Thank you for joining us once again on the Movies Hate You Show. Mr. Ree, thank you for being here in the special secret bunker Movies Hate You studio where the Muslims cannot get us and chop our hands off.
And they wouldn't want to anyway because they're very nice, benign, God-fearing,
exactly.
Loving people.
And we hate that Muhammad movie that's going around. We hate it.
Yeah, we hate everything.
Yeah. And you can get us at movieshateyou@gmail.com. Thank you, Todd. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and we will see you at the movies in Yemen.
And save me the aisle seat.
Yes, see.
thank you guys.
All right, thanks,
thanks,
man.
Todd.
Have a good night.
Good night. I was born to